Right now, a new study has found that the antidepressants we take, things like Prozac and Zoloft, are building up in fish found in the Niagara River, which connects the two easternmost Great Lakes. The drugs are entering rivers and lakes from treatment plants and sewage overflows. Antidepressants in fish brains don't seem to pose any immediate human health risks, but they could alter ecosystems, behaviors of animals, too. Diana Aga is a lead scientist on the study that was published in the journal Environmental Science and Technology. She's a chemistry professor and director of graduate studies in chemistry at the University of Buffalo. Diana, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So how are antidepressants finding their way into the Niagara River, presumably other waterways as well, in the first place?
Yeah, so they're mainly coming from effluents from wastewater treatment plants, and those are basically coming from our own homes. When people take these drugs and they pee, and also sometimes their excess, they flush it in the toilet, they end up going to wastewater treatment plants, which are not really equipped to remove them. And so they end up being discharged in surface waters.
I think a lot of people might think wastewater treatment plants treat wastewater for just about anything. But what you found is that no, in fact, this is antidepressants, other medications, they aren't treated at all. Is that right?
That's correct. So the main purpose of wastewater treatment plants is really to remove nitrogen, dissolved carbon, phosphorus. So the system is designed to do that, but not to remove pharmaceuticals and other what we call organopollutants, and that includes antidepressants.
So you and your colleagues looked at fish in the Niagara River in particular. This connects Lake Erie to Lake Ontario, if I remember my geography right. What did you find when you started to look at the fish there?
Well, we found all sorts of things. We actually looked for several types of pharmaceuticals, but what really stood up is the high levels of antidepressants. When we found that they were almost 500 times higher than the other chemicals we're looking for, which included antibiotics, caffeine, analgesics, antihistamines, the concentrations of the antidepressants were much higher.
And it sounds like from your study, antidepressants in fish, in the brains of fish, were much higher than the surrounding water itself, too.
That's correct. So we observed this so-called bioaccumulation, and they were highest mostly in brain. The levels in the brain was almost 1,000 to 2,000 fold higher than what we found in the surface water.
So as these fish are consuming, or I guess even breathing in effect through their gills, the antidepressants are going in, they're accumulating in their brains, and there's no system in the fish that removes it again.
Correct. So because they're exposed 24/7, even if they are capable of metabolizing or degrading these compounds in their body, the rate of metabolism is probably much slower than the rate they're accumulating that from exposure in water. So in the end, it's concentrating and it's bioaccumulating in their brain.
Now let's talk about, I mean, I think the thing that people would worry about first of all is, gosh, if I eat these fish, am I taking antidepressants? It sounds like at least that part of our worries isn't a big worry, right?
That's correct. A lot of people actually ask me about that. So the levels for us are much lower, and it should not really elicit toxic effects in humans. Plus, I think most people do not really eat the brain, although there are some culture that use the head to make soup. But in general, in the U.S., typically we remove the head and then we don't consume it. So I'm not worried about fish consumption and accumulating of these drugs in humans.
Can you talk about the kind of concentrations that are there in fish? How much is there? And is it there at a level that's going to affect the fish themselves adversely?
Yeah, yes, definitely. So the levels we're detecting in brain are between 200 to 500 nanograms per grams of the brain. And at these levels, it has been shown in laboratory studies that these levels are actually enough to affect a lot of the behavior of the fish, from their swimming behavior, their feeding behavior, their ability to capture prey or recognize predators, and so on. So these levels are concerning for fish.
We're talking to Diana Aga from the University of Buffalo, lead researcher on a new study in the journal Environmental Science and Technology, finding antidepressants, showing up in the brains of fish in the Great Lakes system. Diana, you focused your research on the Niagara River. It's part of the Great Lakes chain. Is this something you would expect to find if you started to look in other lakes and rivers along that line?
Definitely. In fact, maybe even more so, because we were actually expecting it to be lower in Niagara River because the dilution is so much. So we were thinking it to be lower. So if you think about some smaller rivers where dilution is less, you could expect the concentrations to be higher, in fact.
And let's talk about the impact this has on the fish. You were talking about this being enough to affect the behavior of fish. Can you talk about the kind of effect that could have on fish species and the ecosystem in general?
Yeah, so there are some evidence that sometimes when the fish have these levels in their brain, they actually have the decreased ability to capture prey. And they also have been shown that they are affected physiologically, that they can no longer respond to environmental stress. They also invoke changes in swimming behavior and their feeding behavior. In fact, there are some evidence also that sometimes the fish actually swim towards the light, so they are more exposed to predators.
So they might think, oh, a predator, no big deal on the one hand, but also they might be drawn to predators because of antidepressants in their brain.
Exactly, yes.
Well, let's talk about what to do about this. You mentioned our wastewater treatment plants don't treat for antidepressants or other pharmaceuticals. Is that part of the answer here? Is it possible? Is there technology that would allow a wastewater treatment plant to filter these drugs out?
There are. In fact, I've been doing some research, related research on other pharmaceutical for more than 15 years now, focusing on removal of antibiotics and other drugs. And there are advanced treatment systems that can remove them. They are not cheap, of course, and it might involve redesigning of the wastewater treatment plants or introducing some other more sophisticated treatment systems, such as using ozonation or membrane bioreactors or other advanced oxidation process that will involve, money for changing the wastewater treatment systems.
Yeah, can you talk about the kind of scale of expense that would be? That doesn't sound like cheap technology to me.
Correct. I know I'm working with an advanced treatment systems. They're actually spending almost, I think, $3 million to install some of this, and they're testing it now in the pilot scale. So I think as we see more and more of these pharmaceuticals in the environment and finding more and more effects on the ecology, I think there will be some, these are good drivers to renovate and improve wastewater treatment plants, especially those that are aging.
And then what about disposal of medications? I know you said some of this is just biological. If you take these medications and then excrete them one way or another, that's going to end up in the system. You hear sometimes people disposing of medications by flushing them. Is that part of the story here?
Yes. So that's definitely a big part of it, especially when people die and they dump the excess or expired drugs also. That's definitely a big contributor. However, there are now more and more cities that actually do drug collection. Even pharmaceutical stores or drug stores or grocery stores like Wegman, they do monthly drug collection. They advertise that to promote awareness that these excess drugs in the environment are not good for fish and wildlife.
And we've been focusing on antidepressants, but as you mentioned earlier, you've been on the lookout for a while now for antibiotics, antibiotic medications. Are we seeing this as a problem in freshwater ecosystems like the Great Lakes?
Yes. In fact, that was the main purpose for my study, was look for antibiotics, because the problem for the antibiotics is the development of drug resistance. The low levels of antibiotics in water is perfect condition to create resistant pathogens. So that's been a big concern in my research lab, is how to remove antibiotics so that we don't create superbugs.
Are the answers for keeping antidepressants out of the water similar to keeping antibiotics out of the water, treatment, better disposal?
Yes, they are actually going to be very similar. So in fact, if the wastewater treatment plants are improved, a lot of these drugs, all kinds of active ingredients will be probably removed, including endocrine disruptors, you know, like hormones that are being taken that are also affecting fish populations. So the answer to many of these problems is improved wastewater treatment.
Staying with the antibiotics for a moment, and you mentioned the risk of drug-resistant diseases forming. Is this something that you worry, you know, you could get this organism forming a drug resistance, an antibiotic resistance, and then ending up back in the human population?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's actually been shown that that happens because this constant introduction of this mixture of antibiotics at low levels. So they basically kill the susceptible bacteria, and so the ones that are resistant survive. So there's an increase in the percent of resistant bacteria in receiving waters from wastewater treatment plants. So that's a big concern.
As we start to wrap up, Diana, what is the next step in your research on pharmaceuticals in the Great Lakes system?
Well, we're planning on expanding actually the study area, and at the same time, we are looking at improved levels of wastewater treatment. That's been my main research, actually, is what we can do to remove many of these micropollutants in the environment.
We'll leave it there for now. Diana, thanks a lot for joining us today and sharing your research.
Thank you for having me.
Diana Aga is a chemistry professor at the University of Buffalo. She led a study that found a buildup of antidepressant drugs in the brains of fish in the Great Lakes region. That study was published in the journal Environmental Science and Technology, as we heard. She's also concerned about antibiotics and other pharmaceuticals finding their way into the Great Lakes. Coming up after the news, computer game developer Zoe Quinn joins the show to talk about the coordinated campaign of online threats, harassment, and intimidation that turned her life upside down. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.